At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Begging you to take the Jalen Hurts QB list pledge. Only Tasty Cake Dom has taken it. Well, the last guy took it, too.
Yeah,
he took it. Elliot Shore Parks joins us for the 3 o'clock hour to recap joint practice number 2 with the Cleveland Browns. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Does Jalen's spot in quarterback rankings still bother you? 75.3% say no. The way people talk and the way people vote, Elliot totally lining up for
shocker,
me.
Shocker.
Yeah. I'm asking people that say, no one likes us, we don't care. All right. We won the Super Bowl. Okay. You can say, I think the list is wrong. But the emotion, the James.
Oh, I've heard James. He's an emotional man.
Yeah.
He's an emotional man.
Very emotional.
Jalen does is win every freaking game that the freaking guy plays, every big game, and talks to him in the biggest emotion.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He does win games.
Yeah, he does win games. I mean, in terms of like me taking the pledge,
I don't think you really need to because I don't feel like you overreact to any of them.
No,
you can take the pledge if you want.
No, I mean, look, like
I'm not going to ask you not talk about them. You're a content guy.
If I ever tell you I don't care about a list, just take me out back and it's over. Yeah, you know, like I basically invented lists. So I mean, I am.
Oh, there it is.
It's not wrong. Like my 10 quarterbacks I would have over Sam Bradford, like that. You know,
you invented lists.
I think I was one of the first in the market for sure to make lists part of my thing, without question.
You always do something. You came out with a haymaker.
It's true. I'm not even saying I should wear it as a badge of honor. I'm just saying I think. I don't know. I didn't see a lot of lists in the paper in the
Elliot
70s and
80s. Elliot came out swinging today. Yeah. I invented lists.
Yeah. There were no lists before you.
I mean, I didn't see many. I didn't know like that. Were newspapers doing them? Like eight quarterback
top tens.
I don't really think that was a thing.
20s.
I don't really think that was a thing before like the year 2000.
Since I was a... I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
All right, we can move on.
All right.
I'm not doing this. Yes.
So, Elliot...
You almost got me, though.
They might have made them. I made them.
So, Elliot, the first thing we're going to... Before we talk about today's practice, you called yesterday's... You always judge wins and losses on the joint practices.
Yeah.
You said yesterday was a narrow win for the Eagles, though Jimmy Kempsky said it was a win for the Browns. Also, your interception number, you had him at 1.
Yes.
I heard Shil Kapadia have him at possibly 3. You know, had 2 and then 1 possibly with a sack. So it's,
it wouldn't have been 3, but to your overall point, like... Yeah. Yeah, there have definitely been 2 or 3 calls where I have leaned on it not being interception. Now, I can show you the plays and you can tell me, like, the one is a public practice, right? I didn't count that one. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but my assessment's the same. Like, he's
why
not
are you
been
stumbling
good.
Right now?
I don't know, because I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I forgot where I was going. But
into a corner.
Yeah, he's... Do you want to talk about today? Or
Yes. So how did
talk about you omitting interceptions?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
tell
here's
the whole
my
story.
Thing. First of all, I'm not omitting interceptions. If I decide it's not an interception, it's not an interception. Like, I did the stats. I'm not. That's
release
just,
the list.
That's just a fact. Like if I think Jalen was sacked, then I'm not going to count it.
Okay,
but,
so that's why you're deciding. I'm just saying when you first said that, you're like, I decide it's not an interception.
Okay, so here's what happens to take you. All right, so
they don't hit the quarterback.
Yeah. So there are plays where the defensive end gets to the quarterback, but the play continues. And sometimes he gets to him clear enough that the players kind of stop trying. And there can be a gray area where it's like, okay, he threw the ball, but had everyone given up on the play, and it's not completely clear if the play was still happening.
Okay.
And so there's been 2 of those this camp that I can think of. 1 yesterday and 1 in the open practice. I think they were 50-50 calls. In my opinion on both of them, at least definitely on the second one, Jalen and people around him stopped playing. In the first one, watching it live, I thought that. When I saw the replay, since people in the crowd could videotape it, I think it's a little more questionable.
Okay.
Okay.
So He didn't look good yesterday.
He did not.
And even if you're saying that it is a toss-up whether they won or they lost, it was clearly close, you know? So how did it look today?
Today was a blowout by the Browns. Like, the Browns won this practice considerably more than the Eagles won their practice yesterday. And I think for the 2 days overall, the Browns outplayed the Eagles. And I thought there was a stretch of practice today that really kind of showed what the day was like. So the first one, Joe Flacco versus the Eagles' first-team defense. Jerry Jeudy beats Quinyon Mitchell for about a 15-ish, 20-yard slant over the middle, takes it in for a touchdown. So that's on one field. Then on the field next to that, the Eagles' first-team offense is going against the Browns' first-team defense. Jalen Hurts drops back, throws it to Devontae in the corner of the end zone, knocked out by Denzel Ward, incomplete. Back to the other field. Joe Flacco drops back. Touchdown to Njoku in the front corner of the end zone. So that's a touchdown. Then the Browns go for two. They get that with some trick play where they had like a double reverse and the guy ran it in. The Browns were the better team today. They outplayed the Eagles, and I thought they brought more energy than the Eagles did. Like, I have seen the Eagles practice against the Browns 2 days in a row. It happened in 2023. 2023, I thought the Browns won day one, but the Eagles came back in day two and dominated that second practice. I thought the Eagles would come out today with a better performance, and they did not have a better performance. So they lose, and Sirianni and Hurts drop to 10-3. Enjoying practices.
So I guess...
Still a good record.
Yeah.
Still a good record.
Yeah. So I guess that the top-of-the-line question is, and we've had a bunch of calls saying, don't take the training camp stats that seriously. So, but you've always been like sort of on the side of the way that specifically the quarterback plays in camp is indicative of how that quarterback is going to play in the regular season. So there haven't been very many good Jalen days this year.
At least
according to your assessment.
I think the word I would use to describe Jalen's camp is like blah. Like he's not been awful. He's not been great. And to bring up the stats, I think like this is pretty telling. So they've now practiced 15 times and Jalen Hurts has 12 passing touchdowns in those 15 practices. Last year, in those 15 practices, the first 15, he had 22 passing touchdowns. So he had 10 more passing touchdowns than he did last year. In 2023, in the first 15 practices, he had 17. And in 2022, in the first 15 practices, he had 22. Like, I think this is pretty obvious. 22 in 2024 were his best years. 23, he wasn't as good. So when he is throwing touchdowns in camp, he has turned that into good years. This year, he is not throwing touchdowns in camp. It's just not happening. Like, he only has 12 in 277 attempts, 12 in 15 practices. And what's concerning to me is we're going long stretches without touchdowns. So they've practiced 15 times so far. On 9 of those days, he's not thrown a touchdown. Last year, 2024, there was only 5 days. And we still have 3 more days to go. Like, this number could end up being 11 or 12, honestly. So how will it correlate? I don't feel good. Like, I don't feel good about the camp Jalen and the passing offense is having.
So how much? Couple of questions here. Oh, go ahead.
Which means I feel great.
There we go. Well, I did want Joel Embiid in 2013.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he hasn't had AJ, basically, all of camp, right?
Yeah, but
So
I am somebody who has defended Jalen all offseason. Yeah. He should be number 2 in quarterback rankings. He should be at worst 5. He deserves credit for last year. He had a better year than people said.
But you're starting to see what we've been saying.
No. What I'm saying is I don't think they get the excuse of no AJ. Devontae, Dotson, and Goddard are above average to very good passing options in totality. Dotson, we can say, is not a top 2 receiver, maybe, but like Devontae and Goddard are. It can't be every time AJ's gone, then he gets like a free pass. Right?
I agree with you.
Right? Yeah. So like if I'm going to say that the reason they won last year is because of Jalen, and I thought he was the most important player, and he was great in the Super Bowl, and like all that is true, I can't then just dismiss 15 days of him being average because AJ's been in and out of the lineup.
So,
but it would explain why he's not throwing more touchdowns.
I honestly don't think it should, though. Like, Devontae is very good. Goddard is very good. Dotson is having an awesome camp. And the offense has the advantage in these drills. Like, AJ didn't practice every single day last year. Like, guys miss practices. Yeah. And so for the number to be 10 below what he had last year, that's a drastic drop-off.
Basically
and,
half.
Yeah.
I agree.
And by the way, like, in roughly the same amount of attempts, he had, in 15 practices, he had 25 more attempts. and then he did, so like roughly the same amount.
Right.
So who's caught the majority of these touchdowns? Devontae, right?
Devontae has, I believe, 4. Yeah. Yes.
So here's what goes through my mind, right? So I'm thinking about last year, and you said he had a great camp, at least in terms of completions and no interceptions last year. He had a great camp.
Historic.
They come out for the first 4 games. He's throwing a lot of interceptions. They go into the bye week. They have to change the entire offense and refocus it on the run game instead of the pass game, right? So they had a very sloppy first 4 games, especially with passing.
They did.
So what I'm thinking is I'm thinking about this camp, and I'm thinking about Kevin Petula going in there and trying to put in. We can go back and forth on whether he's Nick's guy or whether he has a different offense, but he's certainly...
Well, he's definitely Nick's guy.
Yes, but my point is, if he is the offensive coordinator, it's just human to say, here's stuff I've wanted to do that I haven't had the chance to do. Mm-hmm. So he's putting in different passing stuff. It's not going well. Doesn't it sort of like, wouldn't you rather this be happening now? And then they figure out what is working and not working prior to the opener. And if they have to just do what they did last year, go ahead and do it because the passing thing isn't working, as opposed to trying to figure it out in the first 4 games. And because they don't have a bye in the fifth, you know,
right.
the fifth week this
so
year.
So I think there is logic to that for sure. But just for me, I mean, last year, Kellen Moore was a new coordinator and he threw a ton of touchdowns in practice, right? And
like, yes, but then they failed in the regular season.
They did, but ultimately he still had a very good year. So I think a very good training camp last year was an indicator that he was going to have a very good year. And I think Jalen absolutely had a very good year last year in totality. There were certainly stretches where he was not, but ultimately he had the best year you could possibly have. He got Super Bowl MVP and had a career low in interception. So without question, his training camp last year was a sign of what was to come.
But it wasn't.
And that's, well, it definitely was.
No, see, if I don't want to do this for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
But like, can I just explain to you how I see it?
Yes, you
can. Okay. What we saw in camp, what it directly led to was 4 games that led them to change their entire offensive philosophy. So while he had a good camp, it did not lead to good offense. It was what they changed in the season that led to good offense. And by the way, it was a lot of scaling back on what he did passing. So I can't give the credit. Like those two things don't add up to me.
So the reason they add up to me is because I do agree with you. The first 4 games were not great. 100%, right? But in totality, and while there was that change for sure where they shifted to a running offense, he still took care of the ball, which is what I said he would do based off of that, right? And he won Super Bowl MVP.
But he didn't take care of the ball in the beginning of the season.
But he was also awesome throwing the ball in the championship game in the Super Bowl. And I know there's only 2 games.
5 months later.
All right, what if at the end of camp...
5 months later,
what if at the end of camp I would have told you, based off camp, I think he's winning Super Bowl MVP?
But
last year?
Yeah. Yeah, right,
but
like that's what happened.
Yes,
I said he
but
had
there
an awesome
5 months between camp, or 6 months between
but
camp.
But he wasn't terrible for the end of camp to the championship game.
But he was bad enough throwing the ball for them to change the entire offense.
To shift to a running offense, but they still threw the ball. I think the way you say that, he was throwing it 11 times a game. He was still averaging, I think, 23 attempts.
After
the bye, it was something like that. Yeah,
but you're saying they just shifted to a running offense. It was the most run heavy offense in the NFL.
I know, I agree with that.
Okay,
but still, he took care of the ball. So training camp was indicative of what was going to happen.
Nah, yeah.
I don't see how you.
Well, but we don't have to do 10 minutes on it. See it.
I see
whether you agree it or not.
He took care of the ball while throwing it.
Yes.
In the season, he took care of the ball while throwing it less.
But he still threw it like it was again. He wasn't throwing it 11 times a game. He was still throwing it.
He
fair
threw
amount.
It less than like anybody. I mean, maybe
yeah, like
yes. He I agree. He did not throw it a ton, but okay. He still took care of the ball. I don't even think that it's not up for debate. He had a career low in interceptions, and I get the correlation you're saying because he didn't throw it as many times.
Right.
Because they changed.
Right. But also, he did have a career low in interceptions. Would you say Jalen was smart with the football last year? Like, forget all the stats, just watching him. Would you say he was smart with the football?
Well, at the expense of getting sacked.
But
I don't think he was as good with the football as you're saying he was. Because
I would rather have him be sacked than try to throw it under pressure.
But see, he could also get rid of the ball. He could also decide to run. You're acting like sacked behind the best offensive line in the sport
right.
is a good outcome. It's a bad outcome.
I agree, but it's not a worse outcome than turning it over.
Yeah, but that's like saying, well, I wasn't 30 minutes late for work, but I was 15 minutes late, which is better than being 30 minutes late for work.
Well, don't talk about Alex Call like that.
I think... I actually think you're taking the facts to fit what you say as opposed to what the facts actually are.
So, but like, I agree with part of what you're saying. That
yes.
The reason, obviously, right, he had fewer interceptions is because he threw it less. But I also think from watching him every week, it's obvious a key for him was taking care of the ball. And the four games at the beginning of the season don't change the totality of what happened. It's a small portion of the season.
Well, you're ignoring the context of what happened.
But you are. No, I'm not. But like, would you agree overall Jalen last year was focused on taking care of the football?
After the bye week, yes.
Well, I think he was focused all the time. He just did a poor job of it the first 4 weeks. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Look, no, but I'm saying...
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
He's having a bad camp by his standards.
Yes.
Do you think that means he's going to have a bad season?
I am more concerned about him and the team than I was prior to training camp. Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
I'm not.
Okay, well, all right. Why would you be?
Well, I have the same... Like, my gut is they're trying to put in passing things that he's not going to be good at. They're going to figure out that he's not good at them. And we're going to see an offense incredibly similar to what we saw last year.
The issue with that is it's going to be harder.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, that's the concern for me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And the other concern, I would say, is like they're missing guys. And I understand that's part of the reason for the struggle. But they're probably going to be missing guys this year. Like, when teams play all the way to the Super Bowl, it's harder to stay healthy the next year. So, like... We feel good about Landon not needing the longer surgery for sure, but I don't know what I'm going to get from Landon this year. I don't know if he'll be able to play 17 games. I don't know, you know, so there's that. AJ Brown has missed a lot of time in camp. Do I think he'll play week one against Dallas? Yes, I do. I do think he will, but he's missed a lot of camp. Zach Bond isn't doing 11 on 11. So we can talk about why they lost to the Browns today and say, well, they didn't have all these guys. They're supposed to be way better than the Browns. You don't get to, not you guys, but like we all don't get to say they have the best roster in the NFL.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And then they're missing a few guys, and it's like, well, that's that.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, they're not missing Goddard, and I mean, they're missing A.J. Brown. That's
right.
Important. Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson wasn't in there today.
But I would have, for me, my thing with Jalen and Camp is, I would have
saying, I'm not worried about the Browns. Like, the Browns...
I agree. The Eagles are better than the Browns, 100%. Yes. The Browns are not going to be a good team this year. But I would have liked to see today the team come out and respond to what I thought. Now, I know it's just my opinion, but like, what was a poor performance yesterday, right? Like, I asked Nick today, how do you think the offense performed in day one? And he said, like, there were too many negative plays. And I think what he means is the interceptions and the penalties. Like, they have had a few penalties. Well, there were penalties today. So it would have been nice for someone that's defended Jalen all offseason, for him to come out today, put the cape on, and been like, you know what? AJ's not here, but let's do it. Because I've seen Saquon do it. They had a bad few days of practice earlier in camp. Saquon came out, I think it was a Sunday or a Friday, and was unbelievable that day. He was talking trash. He was running hard. He was scoring. And like, he was a tone shifter. I thought today they needed a win after, even though they won yesterday, it wasn't a great performance. And I thought they were worse today than they were yesterday. So that's concerning to me.
Third week of training camp.
It's for the Browns, too.
Listen, they have been practicing hard. I don't know what the Browns have been doing out in Cleveland. We practice 2 hours a day around here.
Kind of.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Which is fine. They're hard practices, but it's like hour 30.
Okay, hour 30. Well, today was. I thought they had a couple
today
of 2 hours.
Today was a short one today.
They had
yesterday
a couple
was,
2 hours in there.
They did.
But it's the third week of practice. I'm not going to overreact to it. At some point, training camp becomes a little mundane to you. You just lose it. Now, having another team here, you would think would spark some energy and give you some juice. But maybe they're looking at the Browns like, man, we joint practice with these guys almost every year.
I'll overreact, ready?
Yeah.
So I have been at every press conference, and what I hear is we compete, right? We are like, we compete here at practice. Competition's important. Yeah. It's great to have players that really love to compete, and practices are hard, and we like that. We want to get 1% better every day. The whole challenge of this year is not going to be going into games and not going like, well, we're the Super Bowl champs and like whatever. So when the Browns come in today with more energy, and the Browns come in and they're celebrating after touchdowns and they're dancing in the end zone and all that, I would have liked to see the Eagles team like respond to that.
Yeah, and, because they're the Browns and they're
but
here
that's
with the
champs. That's the concern, is that
the champs not getting up for the Browns.
I've been told that they're not the champs anymore by everybody on that roster. The 2024 Eagles team is dead. Well, then you don't get to have that attitude against the Browns. If you're really truly going to be 0-0, then when you don't perform well against a team on day one, day two should matter a ton. And I thought on day two they did not play better than they did on day one.
All right, we'll find out what else happened. We have the cornerback battle to talk about. Seems like there has been some flashes at edge from the other two guys. Mm-hmm. And a report about your behavior at Eagles training camp.
Oh, really? I haven't
yes,
seen this.
A report. We got a report about your behavior at Eagles training camp.
Wasn't for me.
I love the nerves.
I'm like, what is this?
You're all right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, you're all right.
All right. You're I'm excited right. to hear this.
You know I wouldn't throw you under
no,
the bus.
No, I know.
All right. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks in with us for the hour. We talked about the offense not looking good in the joint practices, but we'll get to the defense in a moment. Elliot, I want to ask you, I would assume that you listened or watched New Heights with Taylor Swift.
I watched it at 7 o'clock when it dropped. I watched the entire thing.
Streamed
it on my TV.
Wow. You're pretty excited about it, what you saw?
I am. Yeah. It was an awesome interview. I feel like we're used to it now, but it's pretty crazy when you step back and think, this is like one of the biggest interviews of however long you want to pick. And Jason Kelce, who played center for the Eagles,
is doing it, right?
Yeah. Did a great job. I'm not saying it in an unqualified way. It's just we're used to it now because it's happened gradually, but it is pretty crazy.
There was a report that you said it was the best podcast of all time.
No. I said it was one of the biggest interviews of all time.
Okay, well, that's different. Okay,
so that's some fake news was sent my way.
Yeah. We got fake news. That wasn't the
I'll be curious to know
thing.
Who said that. Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable, though.
Well, it was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I think they I'm impressed by their ability to come across very likable. When you consider how overexposed they are, how like it would be so easy for somebody to find something, they come across very authentic and
the Kelce brothers?
And well, Taylor, like all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
The Kelce guys do. Taylor doesn't to me. She feels like somebody who is doing and I don't begrudge her for it. She's the most famous person there is and hugely
more
successful.
More famous than the queen.
Yes. It must be difficult
well,
for her to be.
Andy Reid, I don't know if you guys talked about this.
Yes. We didn't talk about
it. Okay, yeah.
Andy Reid said Taylor Swift is the most famous person now that the queen has died.
He said this on the radio.
On the radio in Kansas City. Yeah. Yeah. He must have been listening.
That's a point for E. Yeah. Wow.
Big Red listen.
Yeah. Out of nowhere to combine the two is wild.
He's also almost 70, right, Andy Reid?
Right, so he understands what a big deal the Queen was.
To me, Taylor Swift, and again, I don't blame her for it because it's very hard to be a normal person when you don't live a normal person life. She looks to me like somebody who is doing an impression of a normal person. She said this about the way that she thought quarterbacks played each other in football.
I thought the quarterbacks.
I mean, that's how you played it. On the playground growing up, so I understand if you hadn't like.
No, you really don't understand. I thought it was like Jared Goff is here and Josh Allen's here, and they're gonna be like they blow a whistle and then they go at each other and they're like, and it's like who's gonna win?
That's actually.
I would love to see Jared Goff play some defense. Let's see Jared Goff on defense.
I've got some ideas. I've got some thoughts.
She also said that she was very excited when the Chiefs drafted Xavier Worthy,
too.
Yeah,
I agree.
All
there
in the same interview.
Yeah. But you know what's funny about that first part? If you truly knew nothing about football, the way it's talked about with like Jalen versus Jaden Daniels, like,
sure.
It's not crazy to think that they are on the field at the same time. If you truly knew nothing about the game,
this guy
the
beats
way
that
it
guy.
Is discussed. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
By certain fans, actually. Specifically sometimes, yeah. too. Yeah. I thought it was all I did was watch clips, and I'm not that interested in her. Yeah. It's not a like I don't dislike her or anything. No. I just wasn't that interested.
Other than the queen, she
all right. So how the before we get to the reports we got about you.
I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah. Anything new at CB1? What are we thinking there?
So Adoree Jackson was with the first team defense again today. Keely Ringo was with the second team. An interesting note is Mac McWilliams, the rookie out of, I think, Central Florida, has been practicing predominantly at nickel. He's now been moved to the outside and is with the second team. Ja'Quarion Bennett is not with the second team defense, today at least. So I think if they played tomorrow, it would be Adoree, but I don't think anyone has locked that job down. And at this point, I think whoever they start in week one, it won't be this guy had an unbelievable camp and he attacked the job and won it. I think it would be, of the guys, he was the best option.
And I'll tell you this, so we can all just be prepared for it as the season goes along. Whoever starts there week one may not be the starter in week two or week four or week six, just because I don't know if anybody's going to play well enough to just lock the position down. So it may be in those first two games, somebody is not playing well, and Vic decides to give somebody else a chance over there to play corner. Well, so I wouldn't be surprised if that is a little bit of a revolving door over there, and unless somebody does play well enough that they lock it.
Yeah, or, you know, I still would not rule out a trade prior to week one.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, now they traded Thomas Booker, who's not nothing, but it was not.
Oh, like, you mean they didn't give up a draft.
A trade.
The vibe I've gotten all offseason from them is they are going to give these guys a chance in camp. And if it is clear that they're not good enough, they have the amount of draft picks they do, which is 13, that they will go out and make a trade. So I don't think that Thomas Booker for Ja'Quarion Bennett was the trade. I think there is probably another trade coming. Today, Quinyon gives up a touchdown to Jerry Jeudy. What stands out is if Quinyon's not absolutely perfect this year, like then that, you know, like they're expecting him to be locked down CB1 every week in his second year of his career, and he's going to have slip-ups. There are going to be times where Quinyon's not great. That's just natural. But when he's not great, then everything kind of like starts to fall apart a little bit if you don't have good play at cornerback too.
Yeah.
So seems like Uche and Azeez Ojulari have popped a little bit, I guess, this
week? Yeah, I thought they did yesterday. Okay. I didn't notice anything from them today, better or worse. It's possible I missed a play they had. Like, I didn't notice them today. But yesterday, Ojulari had a nice pressure on Joe Flacco. He also had a really nice play against the run, which I think is very noteworthy because we've seen Vic Fangio won't play edges that don't play the run, like Bryce Huff found out. So Ojulari having that mattered. I think Ojulari's had a little bit of a better camp as it's gone on. I still think it is Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, and Josh Uche in that first group, like of the first three. And then the other ones, I think it's Ojulari. Patrick Johnson has been getting some first-team reps. I don't know if they would actually keep him, but he's been getting first-team reps.
Never heard of him.
Okoronkwo. For what it's worth,
he's actually been here as one of their draft picks.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, Patrick Johnson was one of their best special teams players. They cut him I think it was last year.
Yeah. Okay.
And he got claimed unexpectedly. They didn't think they would lose him if they cut him. And so I wonder if they would risk. I'm pretty sure he would still go through waivers. I'd have to double check. I wonder if they would risk it because he is an outstanding special teams player. And then another guy that I think has had a very good camp is the guy they signed from the Cleveland Browns, Obo Okoronkwo, I think is how you pronounce it.
He's been close enough.
Yeah, that's my best. I think he has had a much better camp than anticipated. I don't know if he makes the team, but he's been good.
Well, and what about safety?
So Sydney, this is another thing that's concerning. So Sydney, when Andrew Mukuba was gone, I felt separated himself a little bit. I thought he had a good preseason game.
I believe he prefers Drew Mukuba.
Does he? Okay, sorry, Drew. So while Drew Mukuba was out, I thought Sydney Brown separated himself. But Drew Mukuba is getting first-team reps. And Nick talked today and said, you know, we have time. Like, I get all that. I think they would prefer if at this point at camp it was not a rotating cast of people in there.
Yeah,
somebody has to stand out, though.
Well, that's I think the concern.
You got to go up and snatch it. I brought this up a couple segments ago about the linebackers. So I noticed this in the preseason game, but I'm also seeing it in practice. Jeremiah plays the position N'Kobe played.
Mm-hmm.
Jihad is playing the other position, which is Zach Bond's position.
Yes.
How do you think that works out when Zach Bond comes back? Like, how do they do that?
Last year, and I know they are different positions, but I do, if I'm not mistaken, when N'Kobe went down, Zach Bond started calling plays.
Right.
And so maybe that he feels comfortable going back into there. They moved their linebackers
around.
But
he called plays.
Correct.
Right, from the weak linebacker position.
Right, right. Now, one thing they do a lot is they rotate guys a ton. Like, mm-hmm. they really, and Vic Fangio does do that. So, maybe they will. I think it'll be Campbell and Bond. I think Bond will play where he played last year. I would be surprised if they moved him, but maybe they will. Yeah.
Then you move Jihad to
and move to Jihad to where N'Kobe was.
But then you can't. See, both of them are so good at moving around
right.
as much.
Well, I do wonder when they have similar skill sets, if it matters, and you would know more about this than me, if it matters less if there's defined roles, because N'Kobe and Zach Bond were such different players
right.
that maybe you had to
you
be
had
like...
You had to have him in
like,
that role.
Right,
yeah.
With Jihad and Bond, they could line up in different spots or the same spots, but do something different.
Yeah.
But another interesting decision they might have coming their way is N'Kobe Dean looks awesome on the side field running. Like, he looks so much more further along than I thought. And I'm not a doctor, but just the way he moves there.
Just to clarify,
not a doctor.
In case anyone thought
this was a sponsored segment with a doctor.
Yeah.
But he looks.
Everybody's like, is that Elliot? Or a doctor?
Yeah. Dr. ESP. But he looks so much further along than I thought he would be. He was the starting guy. I just wonder if you're Nick. How it is to just be like, well, sorry, like you got hurt and your job's gone. I mean, what do you think? Like,
yeah.
Well, he isn't some fringe starter. He was a vocal leader on the defense that played every snap on the best defense in the NFL.
And that's the Georgia Bulldog defense.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, issue being, if he doesn't come back until whatever week he comes back and that position looks good.
Back? So you keep saying how good he looks on the side. I'm like, why is he not?
My guess
like
is
closer to practice.
So if he starts the year on the PUP, he misses the first four games. Okay. I still think he probably starts the year on the PUP. Probably.
Oh, so they're going, okay.
So he's still out for four games. But I thought at times there's maybe been a perception he's not coming back till like November.
Okay.
If he's ready week five, let's say, it's just a tough call because Jihad could be playing awesome by then or not. Even if he's not playing awesome, are you going to... I think he will be, too.
Can I tell you? I don't think it's a tough call at all. If it's week five and Jihad Campbell's playing awesome, then they add another linebacker and that's fine. But, like, you have to win football games. And N'Kobe Dean, he's on the last year of his contract?
Yes, yeah. But he was also very good last year.
Yeah, but that's fine. But
no, I'm just saying. It's not like you're putting some rando in.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, we have a guy who they spent a first-round pick on who looks like he could be a core part of the defense for the next 10 years.
And you got $40 million on the other guy.
Yeah, and you got $40 million on the other guy.
Maybe it is a simple decision. But it is one of the first examples I can think of with Nick where a guy straight up is going to lose his job because of injury.
Well, I remember. You remember when Alex Smith lost his job? Where they were just, Harbaugh was just waiting to put Kaepernick in there. He was just dying for an opportunity, and then Alex Smith never got it back.
Maybe that's just what they'll do.
Yeah.
But I thought it would have been a little less clear because if you're not coming back till like November or December, that's kind of tough.
215-592-9494. After we talk to David, I'm going to get to this questionable activity from Elliot at training camp. David, you're on WIP. What's up, David?
Spike, I cannot in good conscience take your little pledge. I'm sorry.
First of all, don't call it little. It's a very long pledge.
It's a long pledge. Yeah.
And it is a long pledge.
Look, David, I respect you, but you're part of the problem.
No, I'm not part of the problem because here's the problem.
You are. You're part of the problem.
Do you remember that receiver who did sit ups in his driveway? What was his name?
Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. He said it best, and I will quote him. He's my quarterback.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He said that about Romo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got it. You have to defend your quarterback. I'm a typical Philadelphia fan. I'm petty. I like the bicker. I like the fight. And if you disrespect my quarterback, then I'm going to go after you.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With, whatever platform that I have.
But don't you think to a certain extent, after winning the Super Bowl, and we're constantly baited by national, like a lot of this is now, I don't think the Athletic one is, but I think when single national hosts decide to put him low, they know exactly what they're doing. And here we are, like, I think we used to be the person that you're talking about, but we walk around all the time. And Ike always laughs when I say that, like, we're Titletown USA. Titletown USA does not have a meltdown on the radio about Justin Herbert being 7 when Jalen is 8 on some list by somebody they don't even know.
Right, but you have to consider your audience. You're dealing with a bunch of children who listen to you.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
If we think he's too low, then I think that's fine to react to. Like, an injustice is still an injustice.
I agree.
Not at that level. It's too much emotion over a list that doesn't matter.
But the whole...
He didn't get screwed out of MVP. He didn't get screwed out of, like, starting.
But, yes, but I think it's not one list.
And by the way...
constant.
But it's not really that bad.
How many lists had him in the top three this offseason?
No.
Oh, but none should.
But that's the point, right?
But none should.
None should.
Hold on. Top five?
But you said three.
You said three.
Right. So how many of these lists have shown him, like, more respect than he deserves?
I don't know if any of them had him in the top five either.
He might have been five.
He might have been five on one of them.
Okay, so the majority of these lists don't have him in the top five.
Yes.
And that's not fair.
Well, can I ask you something? Life's not about fair. Life's about honesty.
It should be about fairness. No, we don't have to accept it's unfair.
It should be. That's why N'Kobe Dean might lose his job.
And that's unfair.
It's not about fair. It's about being honest.
Doesn't make it right.
It's about being right.
Remember, he was... Devin White and...
Well, you don't have to get me started.
So, David, do you want to be in the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League, I hear?
Absolutely.
What is your... Try to convince us why you should be the guy.
Okay, I'm going to play upon your patriotism and your heartstrings.
Okay. First, you know, off, we're the biggest US of A show on this station.
And this is where we're going. Okay, I'm a disabled veteran from the 80s. I served on submarines, and we single-handedly won the Cold War. Secondly, I am a career law enforcement officer who is about ready to retire, and I need a hobby. My therapist says, get a hobby, so I'm thinking fantasy football.
Wow.
Now, don't look at it as putting David from Westchester in your fantasy league. All right? I am the patriotic face of America. So you are putting in America into your fantasy football league, Spike. You cannot disrespect America by not putting me into your fantasy football league. Because America is the greatest country in the world. These colors do not run, and I want you all to go with me now. America!
America! My home and base to be.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Yeah, okay.
Threw me off.
Yeah, I was like, what is Jack singing?
I made up a whole other song.
David? David, we're going to decide at the end of the show. I'm just saying, you came very strong.
I was strong.
That was quite impressive.
Yes.
It was quite impressive.
Go to the polls at the end of the show.
Real quick, David. Real quick, David. You said you're on a submarine. Is a ship a boat?
No. A ship is a ship. A boat's a little thing.
No, see, that's a combat.
A ship is obviously a boat.
A ship's obviously a boat. Good luck voting against that one.
Are you with these two?
I think a ship is a boat.
No.
Yes, but a boat is not always a ship. It's like flower and rose.
I think they're the same thing.
It's like flower and a rose.
Yeah. Not every rose is a flower.
Every rose is a flower.
We know this.
Yes.
Like every apple is a fruit.
Yes.
How many more of these analogies can we make?
Yeah.
So, Elliot.
Let's hear it.
So,
I'm excited to hear who your source is, considering a certain somebody is not normally at practice, and today he was.
No, no.
Well,
oh.
He would have told you to. Yeah.
So,
you know,
I said he looked nice today.
You're saying that Ike doesn't show up to camp ever?
I don't, man. It's a big deal when Ike shows up.
Yeah.
I don't show up, yeah.
So
it was not me, E. I don't even know what it is.
So, Elliot, you're our eyes on camp. But recently I've been thinking, as I've been questioning your assessment of the quarterback, I was like, well, should I read some other
right,
people?
Right.
I saw some Jimmy Kemsky stuff, whatever. And then I saw a podcast with Shiel Kapadia and Olivia Reiner.
Yes.
And they were talking about, Shiel mentioned to Olivia, what she does is they get the injury report, but she marks off every player when she sees them to make sure that they're not, you know, any funny business in the injury report.
Her and Dave Zangaro do it every day.
She said almost every time you come up at the end of 100%, practice and check to see who actually played.
Yeah.
Because you do not have your eyes on those things.
No, no, no. That's not, first of all, I get the answer. No, however I get it, I get the answer.
All right. Okay.
It's a big time someone helping in the last second on a group project. But yeah, it's 100% true. Dave and Olivia take attendance, and I go up to him and I go, oh, I don't think I saw what's his name, right?
Wow. Yeah. So you're just admitting to it.
100%.
Okay.
Well, here's the other thing. A lot of these people have two people there with them.
Okay. And you just have you.
It's just me. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So you're keeping count on the other writers?
Well, I'm saying they like, one of them can watch the offense, one of them can watch the defense.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be up baking on the steps trying to watch both fields.
So Olivia writes for the Inquirer. I just want to give her proper credit.
And she has,
And by the way, I don't have the audio or whatever. I should have told Jack. There was like a little.
They said my name?
Yes. Wow. And then she started saying.
Sounds like he's a grifter.
Yeah. And then she starts saying, it's always Elliot or something like that. Just like, boom, Elliot.
Here he comes again.
Yeah.
About to talk to Olivia about this.
Yeah.
Go get it from Dave.
Trying to take credit. Yeah.
Well, you
gotta get the information somehow. Yeah, 100%. Right. I don't even take a roster. So,
let me ask you this: based on how you've seen the offense perform in practice, I know you're probably going to say no. Would you give any thought to playing them a little bit in the preseason game?
No.
Still doesn't matter to you.
No. Right. And do I have time for one quick thing?
Yeah, you do. Look at how respectful.
Thank you. Well, I'm trying to respect the new time. Yep. Like I know there's a lot of it's just practice. Who cares? The reality is, if everyone saw this, they would feel as passionately about it as I do. And just the unfortunate reality is only I get to see it. But when you see something, it impacts you more than just hearing about it.
Absolutely.
So whether or not, you know, I'm correct in my assessment, like everyone can have their own opinion. Mm-hmm. I think if, and I wish this was the case, everybody got to watch it, everyone would agree these practices matter more. But since you can't watch it, it just doesn't hit home as much.
The joint practices matter more.
Yeah, for sure, but all practices. But joint practices matter more than regular practice.
Yeah, I would say so, too. It's live competition.
100%.
10-3. 215-592-9494. DJ in Willow Grove. You're on WIP. What's up, DJ?
Hey, what's up? Listen, I'm just going to come out and flat out say, you know, I can't take the pledge.
Oh, my God.
I've called before.
Yeah.
And I'm not the biggest Jalen guy.
Okay.
But to clarify this list. So I think the reason why Jalen Hurts is where he is because a lot of these executives are asked, if you had no roster and you're basically drafting and your first pick is a quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that's why Jalen ends up where he's at and why Justin Herbert and Jared Goff are ahead on the list. It's not like they're drafting a list where, okay, you can have the whole Eagles roster and now pick your quarterback.
Well, sure, true, DJ, but if the list was just who won the Super Bowl last year and who's won the Super Bowl, nobody would have to vote on that list. You know, like, don't you think it's a little more interesting to say, now this, you're right, it does mean something. Don't you think it's a little more interesting to say, who do you think is better if you're starting a team? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, I think they're just basically going off this list of, you know, what they see on the field, you know, what their intangibles are. Just like, you know,
all this crazy stuff.
Out in the draft, when they're coming out in the draft.
But to help him like defend here, what I would say is I agree if you did it off purely talent. Like I think Justin Herbert would absolutely get drafted out of Jalen.
Yeah.
But I think when the other list need to take accomplishments into consideration. And I think the lists that are like the GMs and the head coaches don't as much take it into consideration.
I think they do take it into consideration, though.
Somewhat, but not as much as you would. Like, Jalen would probably not be top 10 if he did not win 80% of his games and win the Super Bowl.
Sure, okay.
But he does, so that's why he's number two.
Okay. There he is, Elliot Shore Parks.
Not at practice.
Stealing other reporters' information.
Getting other reporters'
and
information.
And very worried about Jalen's preseason performance.
I've been disappointed.
Okay.
I think DJ was trying to get in the league, too.
There he is. Oh, DJ, you want to get in the league?
Yes, I'm definitely trying to get in the league.
Tell us why.
All right, so one of my reasons is I've been trying to get in this afternoon league since it was Marks and Reese. So obviously this league's been around for a while, and I've been trying to get in.
Yep.
I'm the type of fantasy player where I'm not going to come in and trash talk and say, oh, I know everything about fantasy football. I know this, I know that. I'm just confident in myself.
Hmm.
And one of my willing big points of why I want in this league is that I don't know how the draft order is going to be determined, but I'm willing to take the worst pick, in your guys' opinion, in the draft just to, you know,
just to get in the lake.
Come in.
Yeah.
Just to
it's
get
a decent offer.
And prove my point and my confidence.
It's a good. It's a good offer. Yeah. It's a good offer.
I like it.
DJ, you are registered. You can get the Go Birds offering to get the worst pick.
And the picks are determined. No, and the picks are determined by me just writing them on a piece of paper and picking them out of a hat.
Oh, is that the way we determine
the
it?
Night of the draft.
The worst pick is probably what, the ninth.
Because, I'd say the first pick is the worst pick.
Oh, really?
Well, because you don't go. I'm guessing you do a snake draft, right?
Yeah, we do snake. Yeah,
it takes you get forever to get the next pick.
To get the next pick, yeah. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Yes. Coming out every day, Go Birds Daily. You're also getting a podcast after every practice.
Already out.
And then there it is. Yeah. It's already out. So thank you, Elliot, as always.
You think your you can get more views than New Heights?
No, sadly. Yeah. But if Taylor wants to come on.
Yeah. How do we get 1.2 million concurrent on your YouTube?
I'll ask Olivia with her attendance.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We care about you as a person. We care about your life. We don't just care about sports. We care about your life. And what is more important than love? Mm. What is more important than love?
Quarterback lists?
Nope. Not more important than love. Ike, what's more important than love? Nothing, right?
Nothing.
We want you loving to the top of your ability.
That's right.
You have heard us talk about Blue Chew, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, maybe I could use it.
And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm still all right at this. No, you're not.
Yes. All right.
Just
is,
ask her.
Yeah. You don't want to be ninth on the list. You want to be number one on the list.
Undisputed.
Undisputed. Go to BlueChew.com. Use code 94. You can try Blue Chew for free for the first month. Jack's paying for it.
Free. Taking everybody to Pound Town, baby.
By using code 94. It's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. What are you getting? You're getting a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin. What are you not getting? A trip to the doctor? Nope. Don't have to do that. Do it all at BlueChew.com. You know what you're not getting? Trip to the pharmacy? Nope. Yep.
No lines.
No. Blue Chew is shipping it to you direct in a discreet
hard
package.
I'm reminding you, BlueChew.com, code 94 at checkout, and your first month is free. You just pay for the shipping, and then you can
chew it and do it.